If you have your Bible this morning, however you access it, if you would like to turn with me to the first book of Corinthians, or Thessalonians, excuse me, the fifth chapter, and I'm going to begin reading with the 14th verse. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading the words of the Apostle Paul in that 14th verse. Glory to Jesus. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, beginning with the 14th verse down through verse number 22. Paul writes and he says, "Now we exhort you, brethren," and then he gives us a litany or a list of things that we are to do. He says, "Now I exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men." How many of you know I could stop and preach on those things right there? That's a whole lot of stuff. "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." He continues, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And abstain from the very appearance of evil." And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning and ask you to bow your heads and let's pray and ask the Lord for his anointing in ministering the word of God. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, thankful, thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit that we have sensed here in the house of the Lord as we have worshiped and as we have lifted up your name. And we come now, Father, to the reading of the word of the living God, and I would just simply ask that you would anoint me, because of my own self, I am insufficient. I am incapable. But if you will touch me, Lord, and if you will bless me to be a blessing, then I know the people will receive. And therefore, I ask you to put your word in my mind, in my mouth, quicken my thoughts, give me liberty in the house of the Lord to speak and to preach. I would pray, Heavenly Father, that you would let what is said come forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that you would let it fall upon ears that are touched of God to both hear and receive in their heart. Open the eyes of our understanding. Let Christ Jesus be lifted up. Let him be glorified, and let the people of God be edified. And for all of these things, we will forever give you the praise, and we ask him in the name of the Lord. And everyone in agreement said amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Thanks Living. Thanks Living. And we all are aware that just around the corner in a few days, we will be celebrating Thanksgiving here in America. Thanksgiving Day in America means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. For some folks, Thanksgiving Day means an opportunity to have some time off from their work environment. Thanksgiving sometimes means that, you know, to some folks, friends and family coming together and taking opportunity to travel. In fact, we have a lot of folks who are traveling from our Elevation Worship Center family this morning. A lot of folks are out. But some folks think that Thanksgiving is, you know, all about the eating britches and pumpkin pie and turkey and all of that kind of thing, right? Brother Dean saying amen. But But I would like to submit to you this morning that Thanksgiving, true Thanksgiving, is much more than just one day on the calendar. Thanksgiving is just more than true Thanksgiving. Is more than just a one-time-a-year event. In fact, I submit that we ought to be a people that are living a thanks-filled life. We are to be a people that live a thanks-filled life. And what I would call thanks-living this morning. Every day, our hearts should be overflowing with thanksgiving for all that God has done in our lives. If I just simply ask for a show of hands this morning, all of us could testify that God has been good to us, could we not? Amen. I would submit to you this morning that every day our hearts should be overflowing with thanksgiving and with gratitude, and the mark of our life should be an appreciation and a praise unto God for all that He has done for us. Psalms 145 and verse number 16 declares these words. It says that God opens His hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Psalm 68 and verse 19 said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits." Amen. Stop and think about that this morning. Have you ever been loaded with benefits? Amen. The scripture is saying that every day God backs a truck up to your house. Amen. And just opens up the tailgate and dumps a whole load of benefits on your life. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, God has been good to us. He has forgiven our past. And that's enough to shout about. Can you say amen? He has forgiven our past. But not only forgiven our past, but He has secured our future. He has redeemed us, amen, from destruction. And He crowns us, the Bible said, with loving kindness and tender mercies. And His compassions are renewed every morning. I'm telling you, that's gooder to me than I am to myself. Hello? He's good to us. We should have a heart that is filled with thanksgiving. We should be bursting with thanks unto the Lord. Think in terms of a water balloon. I was praying, Lord, how could I express this? And for some reason in my mind, a water balloon came to my mind. And I said, okay, I'll roll with it. But think in terms of a water balloon. When a water balloon is punctured, what happens and what bursts out? Water. Well, that's what ought to be in us when we are punctured by the trials of life and we are gouged by the trials of life. You know what ought to come out of us? And you know what ought to gush out of us? It ought to come out of praise. Amen. Not because of the problem, but in spite of the problem. Amen. We ought to be filled with thanksgiving. Are we this morning thankful when somebody bumps our cup? Is it thanksgiving that comes out? Or are we like the children of Israel? Hello? You remember the children of Israel? They were so mightily blessed. And they were the most complaining bunch of people ever recorded in history. God delivers them out of Egypt's bondage. Now, if you're a student of the Bible, you know that they served Egypt as slaves for 430 years. And then God comes along through His servant Moses and says, go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses shows up and Pharaoh says, I ain't letting anyone go. I'm paraphrasing. And so God begins to deliver them through plague after plague after plague until finally Pharaoh, amen, he didn't have to be asked to let them go. He said, get on out of here. And the children of Israel had no sooner got out of Egypt and are standing at the banks of the Red Sea until they started complaining. They looked up and saw Egypt's army coming after them, and they looked at Moses and said, "Oh, you have brought us out here to die." Hello? And then they witnessed the miracle of the Red Sea. And they walk across on dry ground, and they did have a Thanksgiving party on the other side. Miriam grabbed a tambourine and they begin to sing praises unto the Lord. But I want you to know it was very short-lived. Because it wasn't too long until they were complaining that they didn't have any water and they didn't have anything to eat. And so they complained to Moses. And Moses went to God. God said, "All right, Moses, here's what I want you to do. Go over there and smite that rock, and I'll cause water to come out of the rock." And let me tell you, now there were about 4 million Israelites, approximately 4 million Israelites. If you do the math, it had to be about 11 million gallons of water a day. That's a lot of water coming out of a rock. And then they were complaining that they had no food. God said, "Don't worry, I got this." And he rained bread out of heaven, 15 tons of bread every day. And all they had to do was go out and pick it up. And that wasn't good enough, because the Bible said that after a space of time, they were complaining that all we have to eat is this bread. Hello? Saying, "I wish we had some quail." If you know this Bible story, God said, "Oh, I'll send you some quail." Hello? Amen. But they weren't happy with what God provided. Amen. They couldn't stop complaining long enough to be grateful and thankful. I mean to tell you this morning, they had witnessed all of these things, and what did they do? All they could do was complain and murmur and grumble against God. Sometimes I wonder how often we miss out on the blessings of God because we are complaining about what we don't have instead of being grateful for what we do have. And all the while, God is simply trying to get us, amen, to move from a thanksgiving into a life of praise. Move us from an occasional thanks into a thanks-living lifestyle. Here in our text this morning, the Apostle Paul gives us a great deal of instruction that we are to live by. If you still have your Bible open, I want you to look at verse number 14. He says, I admonish you, I encourage you. Warn them that are ruling. Now, he's not just talking about the ministry doing these things. He's talking about all of us doing these things. Warn them that are unruly. Warn them that walk unwisely. Warn them that are walking without God. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. How many of us could just pray about some of those things right there and say, "God, help me"? Amen? See that no one renders evil for evil. Don't play the tit-for-tat game. Don't keep score. They did this, so bless God, I'm going to do that. Don't do that. Don't render evil for evil. But be good, follow after that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. And he says, rejoice all the time. How many of you know, amen, that rejoicing is a fruit of the Spirit? Somebody said, you know, "Well, how do you be happy all the time?" You can't be happy all the time. But you can have the fruit of joy in your life all the time. As long as the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your life, you can be filled with joy. Because they're two different things. Hello? Amen. He says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. And abstain from all appearances of evil. But right there in the middle of this list of things that he desires for us to do and how we should live, there is a little verse tucked away in this list of instructions Ephesians, and that one little verse is what the Holy Spirit has laid upon my heart for this service this morning. It's verse number 18. Verse number 18 says these words, in everything. Everybody say, in everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In that one small verse this morning, Paul is striving to move us from thanksgiving to thanksgiving. From just an occasional praise or an occasional thanks to an attitude of praise and glory and worship unto God that we live with day in and day out, moment in and moment out. There's a difference this morning than just celebrating, giving thanks or giving thanks on Thanksgiving Day and living a life of thanksgiving toward God. Let me share with you this morning three simple points that I find in that one little verse. The first thing that I want to point out to you this morning is what I call the sphere of thanksgiving. The realm of thanksgiving, the condition under which thanksgiving should be offered, the sphere of thanksgiving. Look at verse number 18, the first three words. Paul tells us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. This is not Paul's opinion. This is not Paul's, mental assent or some kind of thing that he says, this is what I live in. No, the Bible said that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Ghost inspired Paul to write these three words. And he says, in everything. Now, how many of you right there go, well, I take exception to that. Hang on a minute. What do you mean, in everything? Because, preacher, I don't know about you, but I've had some things happen in my life that I didn't want to give thanks for. Hello? How many of you know a diamond is created under pressure? Sometimes some of the things that we go through are just simply to prepare us for the great things that God has for us to do. You hear what I'm saying? In other words, let me put it the way I've always put it. You can't have a testimony without a test. And you can't have a miracle without a need. Sometimes God allows us to go through some stuff so that when we come out on the other side of that stuff, we come out with a faith that's anchored in Christ and a faith, amen, that's unshakable and unmovable. Sometimes God sends us through the fire so that we come out on the other side with a testimony of His power and His great glory. In everything. Meaning under every circumstance, in every situation, in every trial, in every failure. How many of you ever had some trials? How many of you ever slipped and fell? In everything, give thanks. In everything, in every failure, in every victory, at all times, whether we are going through good times or whether we are going through some hard times and it seems like that everything has fallen apart, in everything, preacher, how can I give God praise for the hard stuff? The hard stuff often prepares you for the good stuff that God wants to do in your life. Amen. And you can look at it this way, giving thanks and giving praise even through the hard times, knowing that He has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. In other words, you don't have to thank Him for the bad things that happen, but thank Him that He's a God that He will not forsake you. And thank you that He's a God that will not turn His back on you. And thank Him that He's a God that'll see you through whatever you're going through. Amen. Are we to just give thanks when things are going wonderful? Are we to just give thanks when we are healthy? Are we to give thanks when we are sitting on top of the world and all of the bills are paid? No, I come to tell you this morning that we need to give God thanks no matter what we're going through and no matter what we are faced with. Instead of getting up in the morning and saying, good Lord, it's morning, how about hopping up and saying, good morning, Lord, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I choose to give God thanks. I choose to give God praise. And I choose, amen, to rejoice in my Lord. Amen. Can you really do that? Well, let me give you an example of it. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas got in a little bit of trouble doing the will of God. If you read Acts chapter 16, they had cast an evil spirit out of a young lady, and it made some folks angry. How many of you know that oftentimes doing the will of God will get you in trouble? It's true. But here's what I recommend. Keep right on doing the will of God, because it'll eventually get you out of trouble. Paul and Silas cast an evil spirit out of a woman, and her owners, she was a slave girl, her owners were offended because she was no longer able to tell the future. And so they took Paul and Silas and they arrested them and they beat them with many stripes, the Bible says, and then they threw them into prison. I mean, you know, that's pretty hard stuff. That's pretty hardcore. I don't look across the congregation. I don't think any of you have been beaten and thrown in jail for Christ, have you? No. It's pretty hardcore. And here they are, blood running down their back, sitting in the innermost part of the prison, their feet and their hands locked in stocks and chains. And do you know what they did? The Bible said at midnight, they didn't complain. They didn't murmur. You know, Silas could have looked at Paul and said, that Macedonian dream you had was more like a nightmare. Hello? No, that's not what they did. The Bible said at midnight, they prayed and they began to sing praises unto the Lord. They lifted up their hearts even in everything. Here they are, beaten, blood running down their back, and they're sitting in the inner part of the prison in stocks and bonds, and they begin to pray and they begin to worship God. And you know what happened when they begin to worship God? The Bible said that God sent an earthquake that rocked that jailhouse, and it shook off the chains that held them bound, and the prison door swung open, and they were set free by the power of their praise. Amen. I come to tell somebody this morning that sometimes you have to have a hallelujah anyhow. You got to have a hallelujah anyhow. Amen. Pastor Gary, have you ever faced rough times? Oh, yeah. I can tell you I have faced some rough spots. And you know what I learned? I learned to have a hallelujah anyhow. Amen. I learned to look at the situation and the circumstances and say, well, hallelujah to my God anyway. Amen. Yeah, I may be going through a rough patch, but if I keep my hand in his hand, he'll see me through. Amen, amen, amen. I pray this morning that God will help us to understand, and the Holy Spirit will help us to understand and help us to look past our current circumstances and our current situation and realize that the big picture is greater and that God has something good in store. And we may be going through some things and we may be being tried by fire, but if we'll keep our hand locked
locked in the hand of Jesus Christ, he'll see us through the furnace and through the fire. And when we come out on the other side, we'll come out, amen, without the smell of fire upon us, shouting the praises of God. Secondly, I see in that verse, number two, the second thing that I want to point out is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. The first was the sphere of thanksgiving, giving God praise in everything, in all things. And the second is the sacrifice of thanksgiving. What Paul is saying here, look at verse 18. It's the next two words. He says, in everything, give thanks. Give thanks. That one little word, give, carries with it such great meaning. If you don't capture anything from this sermon this morning, get this. That one little word carries with it such a great meaning. It means that we must understand that our thanks is our gift to God. Our thanks is our gift unto God. That's the only thing this morning that we can give him. There is none of us here this morning that could redeem ourselves. There is none of us here this morning that could give God anything that he doesn't already have. What we can give him and what he desires from us is our thanks. That is our gift unto God. Somebody said, well, if I sacrifice enough and I give enough here and I do enough there and I run here. No. God is not looking for how much you do. God is looking for your thankful, grateful heart. Amen. We should be so motivated with love and thanksgiving this morning that it should pour out of us. It is the only thing that we can give unto him that he does not already have. He desires our thanks and our praise. What Paul is saying and what I am saying is that thanksgiving is the way that we give back to God. It acknowledges that we have received from him and that we appreciate it. It acknowledges that we are dependent upon his goodness and upon his mercy. You have heard me say this before. I do not have anything that he did not give me. I am nothing that he did not make me. Everything that I have and everything that I am is only by the goodness and the grace of God, and the only thing that I can give back unto him is my thanksgiving. Now, let me just ask you a question this morning. How many of you ever put yourself out for someone and they acted like it was no big deal? Hello? I mean, you made a sacrifice to be a blessing, and they acted like that was what you were supposed to do. I've been there. How did it make you feel? I'll tell you how it made me feel. It sent me to prayer. Well, bless God, I'll never do that again. Right? But if you put yourself out and you made a sacrifice and you gave and you blessed someone and ministered to someone, and they came to you and they were so appreciative and they said, oh, you have blessed me so much. Thank you so much. Didn't it just make you want to do that much more? That's the way God is. When we come to him with our thanksgiving, God, I can just imagine him sitting on the throne saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. Just hang on. I'm not even done yet. I'm going to do some stuff for you that you've never even dreamed of. The Bible says that our thanksgiving is our gift unto God. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15 says these words, "By him, therefore, by Jesus Christ, by him, therefore, the high priest, our high priest, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually." What is our sacrifice? The fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. That's our sacrifice. That's our gift unto God. How many of you know in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, they had to bring bullocks and lambs into the temple and slay the lambs and collect the blood and then offer the sacrifice to God? We don't have to do that in the New Covenant. We come with a hallelujah. We come with a thank you, Jesus. Amen. All we have to bring into the house of God is our thanks, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think the school would let us use the building if we were slaying bulls and goats. Can you say amen? It's a good thing we just bring a hallelujah. It's our gift unto God. The fruit of our lips giving thanks. So stop and think about what he's saying. He's saying every time you turn your heart toward heaven and go, God, I am just grateful. I am just thankful. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, you have been so good to me. If it had not been for the hand of the Lord, I would have perished a long time ago. I just came to tell you I love you. I just came to tell you I thank you. I just came to let you know how much you mean to me. I just came to say, praise the Lord. I just came to say, hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You're a candidate. If you're breathing, you ought to praise God and be thankful for the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Psalms chapter 69 and verse 30 said, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Well, that just sounds like a religious theological term. I'll magnify the Lord. No. Get the gist of what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, how many of you know when you magnify something, you enlarge it? He said, I will magnify the Lord. I know I may be going through some stuff down here, but it is so much smaller than what my God is. How many of you know the Rocky Mountains are pretty impressive from ground level, but you get 36,000 feet in the air in an airplane and look down on them and they ain't all that hot. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning, when you begin to magnify God, your God is much bigger than your problems. I will magnify the Lord with thanksgiving. You enlarge your God in your thanksgiving. Does that mean you literally make God bigger? No, what I'm saying is you reveal within yourself, my God is bigger than my situation. My God is bigger than my problem. My God is greater. My God is merciful. And my God is all powerful. And my God will keep me in the furnace. And my God will keep me in the lion's den. And my God will keep me in the whale's belly. And my God will bring deliverance in my life, even though I go through the fire. I am coming out on the other side. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to have a rapture drill all by myself. Psalms 116, verse number 17. The psalmist said, I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And I will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalms 119 and verse number 108. The psalmist said, accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth. O Lord, teach me thy judgments. The psalmist is saying, let the offerings of my mouth be acceptable unto you. The words of praise that I speak, let them be acceptable unto you. Peter, 1 Peter 2 and 5 said, ye also, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable unto God. We offer him the sacrifice of our praise and our thanksgiving, and our only gift that we can give is our thanksgiving. I tell you, the Holy Spirit sent me here this morning to tell you that we need to move from an occasional thanks into a lifestyle of giving thanks day in and day out, and noon to evening and evening to morning, giving God praise. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thirdly, the spear of praise, the sacrifice of praise. Thirdly, the third thing that I want to point out is the seriousness of thanksgiving. The seriousness of thanksgiving. It too is found in that 18th verse. And it is the last portion of that sentence. Paul says, in everything, give thanks. The third realm. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This, how many of you want the will of God in your life? I'm going to tell you right up front, sometimes the will of God will sail you right into a storm. It's true. Read Mark chapter 5. Jesus said, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. They no sooner got halfway out there in the middle of the water, and there arose a great storm. And they were right where he told them to be. Hello? Sometimes being right in the middle of God's will send you into stuff you're not expecting. Why does he do that? So that he can deliver you and bring you out of the storm, and you'll give him praise and give him glory, and that you'll magnify him above the problem. Hello? He wants to teach us something. He wants to teach us to trust. He wants to teach us. Paul says, for this is the will of God. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. It is God's will that we thank him, that we praise him, that we have a thankful heart. Scripture commands us and instructs us to give thanks and to give praise. 1 Chronicles 16 and 14, the Bible said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Psalms 92 and verse number 1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto the name of the Most High. Psalms 105 and verse number 1 said, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make his deeds known among the people. Psalms 104 says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. I came to tell somebody this morning that it is the will of God that we are a grateful and a thankful people unto the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Are we this morning thankful? As we should be. Are we grateful? As we should be. Or are we like the children of Israel, murmuring and complaining about what we have and what he has blessed our life with? Sometimes, you know, we're looking over the fence at what somebody else has and we feel mistreated. Hello? No. I tell you, just start being grateful for what he's given you. Start being thankful for what he's given you and watch him bring increase. An ungrateful heart is a sign of pride. Let that sink in for a minute. An ungrateful heart is a sign of pride. I've heard people make the statement, well, I don't need to thank anybody. I work for everything I got. Kudos to you, but he gave you the strength to get up in the morning and go work. Hello? He put the breath in your lungs and the beat in your heart so you could crawl yourself out of bed and be faithful to that job. Give thanks unto the Lord. I read an illustration a couple of days ago, and it said that a pig eating acorns in a pig pen never thinks to look up to the tree where the acorns came from. I don't want to be like that pig. Can you say amen? I don't want to think that I've achieved the things that I've achieved all on my own because I know better. I want you to know this morning, even the scripture teaches us. In fact, did you know that the Bible says that the plowing of the wicked is sin? Did you know that? I'm going to have you turn there. Proverbs 21 and 4. It says, a high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. We're going to talk about this for a minute. If you got it, Proverbs 21:4. A high look, thinking more of yourself than you ought to. A high look and a proud heart. And then he includes, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. The Lord brought that verse to my memory and to my mind while I was studying and preparing this message. And I said, God, what does that have to do with a thankful heart? And God just kind of revealed, he said, the wicked plow my dirt, plant my seed, rely upon my sunshine and my rain without ever giving thanks from the blessings that I gave to them. An ungrateful heart is sin. That's the point of the scripture. An ungrateful heart is just as bad this morning as a high, haughty look and being filled with pride and self-centeredness. God says that the ungrateful wicked plow my dirt, plow my ground. They use up my sunshine, my rain, and my seed and never stop to give me thanks. I don't want to be like that. I want to have a heart of thanksgiving. And I don't want to have just an occasional praise, an occasional thanks. But I want to move from an occasional thanks into a realm of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving this morning declares that you have confidence in him no matter how deep the problem and how dire your circumstances. Thanksgiving declares, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Thanksgiving will change your countenance and change your disposition, and being an old grumpy goat, it'll give you some joy in the Lord. It'll give you some joy in your spirit, and it'll change your countenance. And instead of spreading doom and gloom, you'll begin to radiate the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. I came to tell somebody this morning, don't just give him an occasional thanks, but get into a realm of thanksgiving every day with the Lord. Thanksgiving opens the door for God to work in your life. Thanksgiving means being grateful to God for his wonderful salvation. Thanksgiving means giving God praise for the good, the bad, and in spite of the ugly. Thanksgiving means honoring God day in and day out. And let me just challenge you here this morning. We ought to give God thanks. Amen. When we are up on the mountain, and we ought to give God thanks when we are way down in the valley, and we ought to give God some thanks when we are up and when we're down, and when we're in and when we're out. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our thanksgiving. It is our gift unto him. Don't fail to offer God the gift that he is deserving of. I challenge you this morning in this way. I challenge you this morning in this way. The next time, tomorrow, when you are in the office, when you are at school, when you are around your family, shower someone with thanksgiving. And watch the atmosphere literally change. It inspires others. Can you say amen? Try it. You'll find out I'm telling you the truth. Give somebody thanks for something and watch the whole atmosphere in the office change. The atmosphere at school change. The atmosphere in family change. When you offer thanks, I challenge you, try it. Three people tomorrow, just shower them with a little bit of thanksgiving and watch how they respond. And that is how God responds to us when we offer him what he is deserving of. The Bible says that God inhabits praise. He inhabits our thanksgiving. He inhabits our praise. He inhabits our grateful spirit and our grateful heart. Stand up on your feet. Musicians, come back this morning, if you will. I think we ought to take up where we left off before I started preaching. I just ask you this morning, before we dismiss this service, just lift up your heart to the Lord. And begin to give God some thanks and begin to give God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of your lips giving thanks unto his name. Has he blessed you with health? Has he blessed you with finance? Has he blessed you, amen, with salvation and blessed you with joy and blessed you with a heart that's overflowing with good things? Then give him thanks for those things this morning. Amen. Lift up your hands as they begin to play and as they begin to sing, and just honor the Lord with your thanksgiving this morning, and let God inhabit your praise, and let God inhabit your thanksgiving this morning. Slip up your hands toward heaven and begin to praise him and begin to thank him and begin to glorify his wonderful name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.